It's over.
Okay, can you hear me? Good.
All right, the last part of the discussion will be, what's the county telling us about characterizing quadrimers?
Okay, so first of all, it's a pleasure to be here, and I would like to thank the organizers for giving me the opportunity to speak. And I also would like to apologize for a slight change in the title, if you have noticed. So it encompasses maybe more results than I intended to present originally. So these are results obtained in collaboration with a number of people. Andreas Winter in Bristol, Pavel Odetsky in Gdansk, Seva Garibian, who is a PhD student in Waterloo, John Casamiglia in Barcelona, now visiting for, well, a month IPC in Waterloo, and Gerardo Adesso in Nottingham. Let me start trying to clarify what we mean by classicality and therefore what we mean by non-classicality of correlations. So normally the notion that people consider is that of separability. So this is this is the definition of what a separable state is, and essentially you should imagine that the correlations established between Alice and Bob are just due to sharing some classical random variable. But the important point is that these are general, these rho A lambda and rho B lambda are generally are general mixed states. The notion of classicality is stricter, and we consider a classical state to be of this form for some choice of local basis. So these I and j are orthogonal local basis. So you could think that classical states correspond to the embedding of a classical joint probability distribution in the quantum formalism. And this is why we think that these are classical. Is this definition clear? Sometimes there is confusion there. Okay, so what's our aim? Well, what we want to do is to, we have defined classicality and therefore non-classicality mathematically, if you want. We want to characterize it operationally. And doing so, we would like to have a good way to quantify non-classicality. And there are two reasons, two categories. One is from looking at this problem from a fundamental point of view, and we want definitely to understand how quantum correlations are different from classical correlations. And in particular, we want to study different degrees of non-classicality of quantum correlations. So normally we have separable states versus entangled states, but as I told you, the notion of classicality is stricter than separability, so we will have, for example, separable states that are non-classical. And so you could imagine that maybe entangled states are also, separable states can be non-classical, but the entangled states are the most non-classical, and we want to check that, right? Having a, let's say, the right framework. From a practical point of view, well, there is evidence, let's say, it's conjecture that correlations that are weaker, so they are quantum, but weaker than entanglement, can boost computation. So there are models of quantum computation where the initial state, let's say, is not a pure state, and instead is really mixed, at least the state of some of the qubit registers is really mixed, and we can do something, in this case, is to compute the trace of this unitary controlled by this clean qubit, where we can do that more efficiently than what is classically thought to be possible. And so the question is, what is the source of the possible speed up, knowing that in this model, for example, there is no entanglement between this clean qubit and these very mixed qubits. So what results did we get? Well, first what we do is to map the general non-classicality of a multipartite state into bipartite entanglement. And the idea is that, we know much more about bipartite entanglement than we know about this general non-classicality for multipartite states. And we prove that, we have an entanglement generation in this scheme, and the ability to generate entanglement precisely characterizes the set of non-classical states. These notions will be clear later. And doing this, through this mapping, now we can introduce non-classicality measures just based on measures of entanglement. So, well, if you are not happy, there are already, I think, a number of proposals for measuring non-classicality. Well, we have tons more, right? So many more, just because for every measure of bipartite entanglement, you can have a measure of non-classicality. And in doing so, though, we provide a new operational interpretation of what is called the relative entropy of quantumness. You may be familiar with the relative entropy of entanglement. You can define a similar measure for the quantumness or non-classicality. And we will see that is related to the generated distillable entanglement in our activation scheme. So this is the first bunch of results. We have a second bunch that is more conceptual, let us say. So the first is that if we focus on this relative entropy of quantumness, we prove that mixiness and entanglement can combine to give you lots of non-classicality. So we find that mixed entangled states can be more non-classical than pure entangled states. And if you think that, well, the non-classicality of separable states comes from mixiness, maybe it's kind of reasonable, but we can discuss that. Second, well, what we are going to see is that all kinds of non-classicality are mapped into bipartite entanglement, and now, as I said, we can discuss, now we have this general framework, and we can discuss, well, what is the consequence of entanglement at the beginning, right, between Alice and Bob? Well, what we see is that while non-classicality leads to entanglement, entanglement leads to genuine multipartite entanglement. And what is nice also about our framework is that normally, well, you may be familiar with a quantifier of non-classicality known as discord, and it's not clear what's the relation of that measure with entanglement measure. And here, what we have is a natural ordering. So we prove that if you choose an entanglement measure E to measure entanglement, then the quantumness that you obtain out of that choosing that entanglement measure is such that the quantumness of A and B is always larger than the entanglement of A and B. So there is a precise order. Quantumness is larger than entanglement. That makes sense. And finally, I will briefly mention how our results can have, let us say, consequences. There are just observations about the so-called von Neumann chain that regards how measurements, let's say, go from the microscopic world to the macroscopic world, and we will see how quantumness does not decrease along the von Neumann chain. Okay, so quantumness activation. Well, we were inspired by what was done in the past to quantify the non-classicality of light. So let me give a naive definition of non-classicality of light. So there is this description of, for any state, or let's say of a mode, in terms of a so-called P function. You can expand it in terms of a combination of coherent states. And we say that a state is classical if this P function, let's say, is positive. So what you have is just a convex combination of coherent states. And if we assume that coherent state is classical, this is just mixing classical stuff. So we obtain, again, something classical. And, well, now the point is, how do we quantify the non-classicality of a mode, given this definition? Well, Asbot and collaborators, among whom was John Casamiglia, look at the entanglement that is created by letting the light go through a beam splitter. So what you have here, you want to quantify the non-classicality of an input mode, and what you do, you send this light through a beam splitter, let's say a 50-50 beam splitter. The other port is just the vacuum, and now you have light in two output modes. And the point is that the non-classicality at the input is mapped into entanglement between these two output modes. And it's an if and only if. So if the state is classical, so it has a positive function, you don't have entanglement. So you have entanglement if and only if the original state was classical. So now you can measure the non-classicality of the input light measuring the entanglement that's created between the output modes. So what we did was to take inspiration from that scheme, and we considered this for discrete variables. Right? So we have D-level systems, and what we do is to replace the beam splitter with a CNOT gate. That is a reasonable substitution, and it works really well. And now the scheme in the circuit model is like this, right? So you have an input state of Alice and Bob, let us say 2 qubits, and now you have initiated local ancillas that have the role of the vacuum port, and now you introduce an interaction like the beam splitters, right? But done by via CNOT gate. And what these CNOT gates are going to do is to create entanglement between the input state, the input systems A and B, and the ancillas A prime and B prime. And what we are going to do is to measure the quantumness of this original system through the entanglement between the original systems and the ancillas at the output. And this is what we take as the action of the CNOT gates. Right? So they just, in a sense, they just copy information. And actually, well, if you go and read, for example, the review by Zurek, you see that this is one possible recipe, essentially, to perform a projective measurement on a system. So what you do is you couple it to a measurement apparatus, to the CNOT, and you copy the information in the basis that you want to measure in. And assuming that perspective, other people in the group of Dagmar Bruce have obtained results very similar to ours. So there's one point that is that the CNOT actually can create a highly entangling gate and can create entanglement even, for example, if your state actually is a factorized state of Alice and Bob, right? So for example, if you have just this superposition, then you go from you create a maximum entangled state of Alice and Alice prime. It doesn't matter what's the state of Bob. So the point is that classicality is defined in terms of a particular basis, and we solve that problem adding local unitaries at the beginning that, in a sense, choose the right control basis. So we minimize the creation of entanglement at the output here, fixing the entangling gate, the hourly entangling, but putting also choosing these unitaries so that the entanglement generator is the minimum possible. And so if you want, the basis for the CNOTs are chosen adversarially, and if you look at this as a measurement process, essentially you're looking at the projective measurement, at the local projections, that require the minimal entanglement creation between your systems and the apparata. So now we have a theorem that says essentially a multipartite state is non-classical, so it cannot be seen as the embedding in the quantum formalism of a classical probability distribution, if and only if you create entanglement through our scheme, whatever your choice of local basis. So in a sense, all kinds of non-classicality, entanglement, discord, bipartite, multipartite, are mapped into bipartite entanglement. And now we can use all the tools that we have to study bipartite entanglement to study the general non-classicality. And in particular, you can choose an entanglement measure, E, and define a measure of quantumness for your initial state as the minimum entanglement is generated between Alice and Bob and the two ancillas, minimizing over the local unitaries, so the choice of basis for the control nodes. In particular, we can obtain a measure that is called the relative entropy of quantumness that you could imagine simply as a distance, and it is not really a distance, but between your state and the closest classical state, where you measure that distance in terms of relative entropy. This is a kind of measure of distinguishability. And if you consider now the distillable entanglement you create between your output systems and your output ancillas, well, you obtain exactly this measure. So the minimum distillable entanglement is created by the CNOTs. Doesn't matter what is your, so even minimizing, like, or minimizing the entanglement creation with the choice of the local basis for the CNOTs is equal to this quantumness measure, so the relative entropy of quantumness. Okay, the second bunch of results. The first is, as I said, is something surprising in regards to the role of mixedness in quantumness. So one can prove that for separable states, well, they can be non-classical. It's easy to come up with examples of separable states that are non-classical, but you can easily prove that the quantumness as measured by the relative entropy of quantumness is upper bounded by log d, if d was the dimension of the local systems. And similarly, you can prove that relative entropy of quantumness for pure states coincides with a standard entropy of entanglement, the entropy of the reduced state given a pure state. The entropy of the reduced state of a pure state. So now we have, let's say, these axes is, we plot here the quantumness of a system, and you have that for both pure entangled state and separable state, you are here. You can reach at most log d. One thing that we prove is that there exist separable mixed states that essentially perform or are as quantum as pure entangled state, with a small correction, let us say, if you rescale everything via the log d. And on the other hand, there exist mixed entangled states such that you can break this barrier, that, of this log d barrier that was valid both for pure states, pure entangled states, and separable states. So combining mixedness and entanglement, you can go beyond log d and actually reach almost to log d, that is actually the maximum entanglement supported by the dimensions that they are involved in the game. And we can discuss whether this makes sense or doesn't make sense, but I find it intriguing at the very least. Okay? So second, as I said, we map all kinds of non-classicality into entanglement, and now you can ask, well, what happens if your initial state is entangled? Does something special happen? Do you obtain some special output entanglement? And it is so, right? Kind of trivially. So if your initial state of Ellis and Bob, and now you consider this point of view where you consider the interaction with the measurement apparatus, so if you now you have a measurement interaction, so you have a measurement apparatus and you try to measure B, letting your measurement apparatus interact with B, well, you will end up with a system now that is entangled between the measurement apparatus and AB as soon as B is non-classical, but certainly is ABM separable because this interaction was only between B and M, so you cannot have create general entanglement. But if originally you have AB entanglement, then this is mapped into genuine multipartite entanglement, and this is an if and only if. So second, another point is that, so now we consider the quantumness between A and B, and we do so by creating entanglement with these two local ancillas, and one can prove that there is a mapping so that we can reobtain from this state of the global state of our systems and our ancillas the original state, but now across this cut, the system's ancilla cut. So this means that the quantumness, that was the minimum entanglement generated between systems and ancilla, is bigger than the original entanglement, because we can go via LCC from one state to the other. So now in 1 minute, let me describe just this. So this is a famous picture. So there is the quantum in the classical world, and there is a border, and this border you can imagine is related to measurement. And now, well, there are lots of questions regarding what it means to measure, right? So if you imagine that you have a system that is in a superposition, measurement means to let it interact with an apparatus, but now you have to observe this apparatus, and maybe this happens because the apparatus is something visible, and there is a photon, and this gets entangled, there is an interaction, and this gets entangled with your retina, the optic nerve, the visual cortex, and so on, and you could imagine that some point you have consciousness of the result. So this is called the von Neumann chain, and it's easy to see that our argument that the quantumness is greater than the original entanglement leads to the fact that, well, if you measure the measurement apparatus with another measurement apparatus, you get more entanglement, and so on if you repeat the process. So in a sense, quantumness and entanglement never decrease along the von Neumann chain. So it's not by adding rings in this chain that you cross the classical quantum border, in the sense that there's always going to be entanglement there, so you have to add something to become classical, starting from something quantum. So conclusions, we have this general activation protocol that maps general non-classicality into entanglement. The idea is now we can deploy all the tools that we know for bipartite entanglement to study non-classicality, and we have a bunch of results that and in particular, we have that mixedness seems to add on top of entanglement. So mixed entangled states can be more non-classical than pure entangled states. And what we have is that another thing that is very interesting is that naturally in our scheme, quantum mass is always larger than entanglement. So that makes lots of sense. And finally, as just an observation that may be important for foundational issues, is that we have quantum mass and entanglement never decrease along the von Neumann chain. Okay, and with this, I would like to thank you.